Welcome each one to our worship's hour. I've asked God to use me as a vessel in his hand. I ask that you turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. I'd like to look at this passage this morning. We already we're talking about Apostle Paul and in our Sunday school, and I'd like to continue that. This morning, I'd like to zero in on Paul's message in Galatians chapter 1. The message goal for this morning is to renew our belief for the authority of the one true revealed gospel of Jesus Christ. For a text verse, let's read verse 12. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. I guess my concern this morning for this subject is that we don't mix the gospel with our applications and our practice. And I'm concerned about that. Apostle Paul was addressing the issue, the purpose of this letter. Paul is writing this letter to confront the false beliefs that were taught about following the law. I believe it was Paul that established the Galatian church here on the premises of faith in Christ. He had come through as a missionary, as a preacher of the gospel, and I believe he had helped convert these people and brought them into a saving relationship with God. And in this chapter, as Paul has moved away from these people, Paul now comes back and confronts the Galatian people for accepting Judaism. And he gives warning about such doctrine and teachings. I'd like to give you just a little bit of background. Coming in focus directly here in Galatians, probably more prominent than anything else, is circumcision. For many years, people had followed the Mosaic law. And circumcision was a law that God required of every male at 8 years old. And I'm going to turn back to Genesis, and I'm going to read a few verses to prove that point. This goes the whole way back to Abraham, thousands of years ago. So if you can get the idea here that this plan was followed for many, many years. Genesis 17, verses 9 through 14. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep. Between me and you and thy seed after thee, every man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house, or bought with money, or any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And so we see here that for thousands of years, or for a great number of time, the law was in effect, and people followed that. And we also see the serious consequences for going against God's plan in regards to that. Now, let's talk a little bit about the conflict, as it was here in Galatians. The Jews still thought that the Gentiles should continue the outward ceremony as part of Christianity, and most of the Galatians here, as I understand, were Gentiles. And I want you to notice what made this conflict so aggressive, or what was all involved in this conflict. My Life Application Bible informs me that Paul was accused by some Jewish Christians of diluting Christianity to make it more appealing to the Gentiles. In other words, Paul was watering down Paul was watering down religion to gain more followers or responders. Another interesting fact that Life Application Bible gave is that Paul's accusers had even followed him to the Galatian churches and told the people that they need to be circumcised and follow all the Jewish laws and customs before they could be saved. So we noticed the conflict there of the accusations and kind of following Paul around there and trying to undo what Paul established. And so we have here false teachers undoing the gospel that Paul had presented to the Galatian church. And Paul writes this letter in Galatians to admonish the people to resist the false teaching or the false gospel. And it was already mentioned today. What would Paul write to us? Is this still prevalent for our day? What would Paul share with us if he was to sit in our congregations and he would be to know where we stand on issues? Would this be prevalent? Would he write this to us? And so this morning again, I'm concerned that our beliefs do not undermine the authority of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to give you just a little bit of a summary of this passage. Verses 1 through 5 is Paul's open greetings to the Galatian people, and he immediately begins to establish an authority. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. Verses 6 through 10, Paul shares his concern about the false teaching, about the Galatians' instability, and the consequences of teaching a false gospel. Verses 11 through 24, Paul promotes the gospel of Christ, shares about his past, and how the gospel changes his life. Now, I'd like to just give some thoughts on verses 1 through 5. Verse 1 addresses, Paul writes that he is an apostle. And an apostle is one who is sent with a message. And in verse 1, as I mentioned, he immediately begins to outline a foundational argument to defend his authority. And Paul was trying to endeavor to convince the people of his authority from God, as to help them understand that his writings that he was writing was an authority. He was trying to establish that. And he points out the very essence of the gospel, God the Father, who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And Christianity is built on the gospel of the death and resurrection of Christ. In verse 2, Paul generously includes a group greeting. It says, all the brethren. And I believe this was adding to the support of his focus, or it was simply including them in the greeting. Verse 3, Paul wishes a blessing to the people. And at the end of his blessing, Paul again brings the focus to God and Jesus. And again, I believe Paul keeps referring back to the authority of where the gospel was based off of, and that's Christ Jesus. Verse 4, Paul elaborates on the work of Christ and God's will for his people to deliver us from evil and from sin, to free us. And in verse 5, Paul recognizes God as an eternal being who we must submit to, because his authority is above all and will never end. And so, right from this passage already, Paul, again, I'm going to say, was laying out an authority to help people understand the authority of his preaching. I'd like to read this passage at this time. I'd like to read this chapter, and then I'd like to look at seven marks of the gospel, seven marks of the true gospel. Let's read Galatians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God, the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would prevent the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. And when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. And others of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came unto the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by the face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. I like from this passage to pick out seven marks of the true gospel. Number one, the true gospel is a call of grace. Paul is sharing his concern with the Galatians in verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And so we see that these people had accepted the grace of Christ. They had come into a relationship with God on the basis of faith and repentance. And now they had moved away from grace. And in moving away from grace, they were discrediting the true gospel. They no longer believed that it was only the work of grace that brought them into a relationship with God. They no longer believed it was only Christ that could bring a sinner into a saving relationship with God, but it was a combination of Christ and the work of man. We could ask the question, what is grace? Grace is unmerited favor given to us from God. Unmerited favor given to us from God through Christ. The gospel, the true gospel, is a call of grace. And I'm going to read some verses to you about grace, and I want you to listen to them. Romans chapter 3, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 4, verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Romans 11, verse 6, and if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace, but if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And Titus 3, verse 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The true gospel is a call by his grace. This simply means that salvation is to all mankind without any ritual or format. And the only thing that God asks and requires of us is confession and repentance and belief in the finished work of God, the finished work of Christ, and anything other frustrates the grace of God. The true gospel is a call of grace. Number two, the true gospel attracts confrontation. We see that in verse 7. But there be some that trouble you and would prevent the gospel of Christ. Paul recognized that they had moved away from faith in Christ. And he identifies the problem. There are some that trouble you and prevent the gospel of Christ. And we see here in this passage that false teachers were attacking the simplicity and the authority of the gospel of Christ. And sad to say, it was the religious people of the day. It was the Jewish people. It was God's own people. And Paul was often confronted for the preaching of the gospel. I'm going to turn to 2 Corinthians 11 and read a few verses. Dealing with some of the same issue in 2 Corinthians 11, he says in verse 3 and 4, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. And so we see he was dealing with a similar situation, but then moving to 21 and on, we see all the things that Paul suffered for Christ, for the preaching of the cross. I think I'll start at verse 21, read some of those verses. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak, howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in death often. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And besides those things that are without, and which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And I think I'll stop reading there. The true gospel attracts confrontation. And today we look around at the religions of our world, and we observe how Christianity is under attack. The Bible speaks very plainly that Christians will suffer persecution and that Christians will be few. And so, if we meet people who think we're odd, who think we're radical, who think we're ridiculous, who give us a hard time verbally or physically or in whatever manner they can think of because of our belief in Christ, we can rest assured that it is a mark of the true gospel. And we don't need to apologize for this. Paul shares his testimony in Romans 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The true gospel attracts confrontation. Number three, the true gospel cannot be altered. Verse 8 and 9. Though we are an angel. Paul is teaching the consequences of promoting another gospel of Christ. No one has a right to change the gospel of Christ Jesus. And a second on the matter of verse 9, repeating the issue, I think shows the seriousness of this, of the consequences of preaching another gospel. The gospel cannot be altered in teaching to please men or to try and convince God to adjust his authority. And unfortunately, there are many who tried. Jude talks about some of them. Jude 1 and verse 4, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, godly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." These men here were taking the grace of God too far. It was from the other aspect. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'd like to read a few verses from Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'd like to read verses 1 through 5. "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things." I believe I'll stop reading there. And so, and as in Paul's day, many in our day are tweaking the gospel to fit the desires of carnal man. And the Bible is clear, to those who alter the gospel, they will come under the condemnation of God. And so the true gospel this morning cannot be altered. And what we have in this book cannot be changed. People can try to change it, but God's word will not be changed. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. This has been written by the apostles and by the hand of God through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The true gospel cannot be altered. Number four, the true gospel doesn't please the carnal man. Verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." The carnal man is resistant to the gospel of Christ. There's something within us that wants to resist the gospel. Galatians 5, verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. Romans 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity with God, enmity against God, for it is not subject to of the law of God, neither indeed can be. And we could also turn to 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. It talks about the preaching of the cross being foolishness to the Gentiles and a stumbling block to the Jews and a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks. And so we see here that the true gospel doesn't please the carnal man. And this morning or any other time that the word is being preached and you look into the word of God, it should do something for you. It should step on your toes. It should convict us. It should challenge us. It should exhort us. If the word of God is doing this, that, then it's doing its job. But if the word of God isn't doing that, it's probably a false gospel. And the Bible uses terms like grow up or build up because it wants to change us into the image of God. So a mark of the true gospel is it doesn't please the carnal man. Fifthly, the true gospel is revealed by Jesus Christ. In verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This gospel wasn't something that Paul preached up, dreamed up. No. In the beginning of the chapter, Paul tries to convince the people of his authority. Later on in the chapter, Paul is defending his authority due to the fact that Christ had revealed the gospel to him and that it wasn't something that was simply handed to him by the apostles. And Paul, in this passage, was trying to teach the people that the gospel he was preaching superseded any other religion or teaching. Paul was teaching a change from the old law to Christ. And other scripture verses bring that out. John 1 verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Matthew 5 verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fill the law. The law served its purpose in the past, but it is no longer in effect. And now we are the servants to Christ. Galatians 5, 1, stand ye therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Galatians 5, verse 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And so the gospel is revealed by Jesus Christ, and the gospel calls us to a higher standard than the law. And you could go to Matthew chapter 5, and it would explain that. It hath been said of you of old, I shall not kill, but it gives a higher standard. Or there's other instructions that it's clearly outlines that the gospel is a higher standard. And so we have the true gospel is revealed by Jesus Christ. Number 6, the true gospel changes one's life. We read that in this passage here in Galatians, verse 16, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. And it says, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. And he goes up to Jerusalem and, no, he doesn't go up to Jerusalem, but he preached the gospel immediately. And in verse 23, he says, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which he once destroyed. I love that picture. Paul is sharing in regards to his past life and how he had been working against the gospel. And when Jesus came, when Jesus revealed himself to Paul, Paul began to preach the gospel instead of persecuting Christians. But Paul told us he had a zeal above most people to follow the law, and Paul was dedicated to the law above others. But Paul recognized his false beliefs, and the gospel changed Paul's life. He who now persecuted now preaches. That's a beautiful picture. I believe Paul shares this testimony or gives us this instruction. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Galatians 6, verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And we see here that the gospel changes one's life. Following Christ doesn't mean we can do what we want. No, we follow Christ's teaching. The true gospel changes one's life. Number 7, the true gospel causes others to glorify God through us. Verse 24, and they glorified God in me. People were glorifying God in Paul's life. Even though he had certain accusers, even though he faced a lot of resistance, they glorified God in me. As we allow the gospel to change our life, I believe people will notice and will glorify God through us. The true gospel will cause others to glorify God through us. And we may never understand the witness that we may leave behind. We may never understand the outreach of our work. But I believe we have confidence through Paul's changed life, changing from the law and following Christ, and how God was glorified through that change. 2 Thessalonians 1:12, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, in summary, let us hold to the one true revealed gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's not alter it, but let's accept it as a word of God that can change people's lives and make a difference and help people to grow more and more into the image of God. May God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.